And we are going to be talking with Larry Weber in just a moment, but want to let folks know that Patty Johnson, Forest Service Fire Management Officer for the east side of the Superior National Forest, was joining us right after we finished talking with Larry to talk to us about the smoke we're smelling in the air and where those fires are, especially the ones that are in the U.S. Of course, most of the smoke is coming from Ontario at this point, but we'll get more about that right after we talk with Larry. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
How are you?
I won't be talking about fire. I'm talking to you this morning from Green Bay, Wisconsin, where I'm attending the American Arachnological Society meeting. That is the spider people.
Oh.
People who enjoy studying spiders. Very interesting group. Wonderful people. Anyway, a few things of note. I was out on my walk this morning, and I picked and ate a mulberry. Are you familiar with mulberries?
I'm not.
Mulberries grow further south, and every so often when I take a trip at the right time of year when they're ripe, that is always one of the things I look forward to finding, is a mulberry tree that has some ripe mulberries on it. M-U-L-B-E-R-R-Y. Look it up. They are delicious. However, they don't grow in our part of the country. A few things of note. You may have noticed that the temperatures cooled down a little bit this week. We had a period of June 27 straight through to July 16, 20 days, where 19 of the 20 days were 80 degrees or warmer. Amazing heat spell we had. Well, that broke a little bit this week, and we had a little bit less, but we got right back into it again yesterday and again today. Even with that cooling off, we are still on pace to set a record for the hottest, not only the hottest July on record, but the hottest month on record. And these are records for Duluth that go back to 1870. So it's certainly been a warm one. This is quite a summer for records. We set a record in June for precipitation, and now we're heading for a record in July for heat. Remains to be seen what kind of a record August is going to come up with, but we'll postpone that for a few weeks. Precipitation highs this month, though, we are nowhere near a record. We are far below normal. We are only about a third of what we normally are at this time. Now, with thunderstorm season, that can change rapidly. So we'll see if some of these thunderstorms that are possible will actually happen. We are a month after the solstice, and of course the days are quickly getting shorter now. We have sunrise after 5:30 in the morning. This is more than 20 minutes later than it was at solstice time. And the sun is setting earlier, too, about 10 minutes earlier than it was then. This is causing some movement with birds. A lot of the birds have grown up. They've left the nest. They're starting to foot around. I see baby or young families of chickadees in my yard every day. I've been watching a family of owls through much of the last month. And now I'm watching a family of red-tail hawks and broadwing hawks all raised in my immediate area. There's even some migration going on. The swallows have started migrating. I saw some yesterday that I thought was in migrating. And while all this is going on, we have a type of bird, the goldfinches, that are just starting to nest. Day before yesterday, I saw the first fluffy seeds of Canada thistle, and that is associated with the nesting of the goldfinches. They use the fluffy seeds for their nest. The nests are so tightly packed that it is said you can take a cup of water and pour it into it and it won't even leak through. Well, that's largely because of the fluffy seeds from the thistles, and that just started to happen this week. So quite an interesting mixture as we get in July. We got the babies, we got the migration, and we have the nesting still starting. The bird song has dropped down a great deal, but I still hear singing every day from wood peewee, wood thrush, hermit thrush, indigo buntings, red-eyed vireos. They continue to sing every day, and I think that will even start to wane as we get later into the month. And speaking of singing, the summer frogs, the green frogs, I've still been hearing those every day. This is also the time where the babies emerge. And just this week, I saw three kinds. I saw chorus frog, wood frog, and American toad. All the tiny ones, they're so little they could fit on your fingernail. They're out hopping around right now as they metamorphose and left the water and out moving about a bit. Lots of kinds of butterflies still out there, lots of kinds of dragonflies. I noticed our dragonfly species has changed. We now have the smaller ones known as meadowhawks. The females are yellow, the males are red, and you'll probably see them around. There are several species, and they're quite common now as we get further into summer. Cicadas continue to call. I heard two kind this week. I had the opportunity to get some close-up photos of one of them. The chipping cicadas and the buzzing cicadas are out there. Crickets, a couple kinds of katydids, and I think we're intact for a large number of grasshoppers. You may have heard there was news this week of a grouping of mayflies down at Hastings, Minnesota, that congregated around the lights of a bridge in such huge numbers that a motorist skidded on their bodies and had an accident. This will happen with the emergence of mayflies because they are a bit weird. They live only for about a day as an adult. And in order to have the successful mating, they have to emerge from their aquatic existence in the river there. They have to emerge all at the same time. So you have literally millions of them. And if they congregate around the lights and their bodies drop on the bottom, it almost amounts to snowdrifts. And in what they had to do in Hastings, they had to actually go out and plow them to be able to move through them.
Ew.
So we don't see that kind of an emergence. We have mayflies, but we don't have that kind of an emergence here. We do have, however, a lot of spiders now. Hot summers always bring out more insects, and more insects brings out more spiders. So I'm looking forward to a fabulous spider watching for the next 2 months. In the world of wildflowers, we have, as we get later into summer, we have sunflowers and goldenrods and asters. And so far the score is sunflower 4 species, goldenrod 4 species, asters 3 species. But I expect that to change rapidly now with more asters. Fireweed are blooming really well now, milkweed, and then a species of milkweed called butterfly weed, which is much more orange. They're becoming more common now in the Northland. And, of course, jewelweed, Joe Pye weed, has started to bloom this week. That is a fascinating plant. It grows along the swamps. It's named after a person named Joe Pye, and Pye is spelled P-Y-E. He was a Narragansett Indian who was apparently an herbal specialist. And that was the plant that he recommended for so many people. And so now it bears his name. Raspberries have been pretty good. Juneberries pretty good. Blueberries, not quite as good. But I'm amazed at how many hazelnuts we have this year. Normally we don't get the huge numbers of them, but boy, they're out there. And finally, I have to tell you about a lobster mushroom I found this week. Lobster mushroom is called that because it's a rather bright orange or red. And it's really weird. It's not really a mushroom at all. It is a mushroom, but it is something else as well. It's a mushroom that is coated with an orange mold, okay? Uh-huh. Now, the mushroom itself is not edible, but after the mold grows on it, it becomes edible. So isn't nature strange?
That's fun. Very good.
Okay, have a good day.
Thank you, Larry. Larry Weber joins us every Saturday on North Shore Weekend to give us the latest on what's happening outdoors. And he is a retired science teacher, twice named Science Teacher of the Year, and lives in Carleton County.